step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
To all the Warriors fans out there, we love you around the world, not only in the Bay. We're sorry it didn't go the way we wanted to, but it's not the last time we'll be on this stage or on this platform. We'll be back, and we're going to win one for you guys again. Hurts right now, but it's not the end of what we're, you know, trying to do. So we're sorry, and thank you for the great support all year. You guys have been amazing in my 5 years, and it's really easy for me to say there's not a better fan base in sports around the world.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors huddle with me, Bram. With me as always, my boy and producer, Scott.
Scott here.
Scott, let me go ahead and start this episode by saying all right. I had to get that out, man. I know you don't like beeping it. I've been waiting almost 3 days just to kind of dump out my mental psyche here. So it was what it was.
I did not appreciate all the work that I just had to go through for that. But oh my gosh, this is just, I'm a little depressed. This is hard, man. This is really, I just can't believe we're in this situation right now.
Well, let me start us off on a good foot. Despite all the evidence to the contrary, I do not blame you or your jinxing for the Warriors' complete collapse, man. I know a lot of people out there do, but I don't think it was you. I don't think it was you alone.
Do not put this on me for sure, but oh man, I definitely wish I had said something different early on after those first two victories.
You got to be way off the bandwagon now. Yeah, I mean, like exploding the bandwagon, shooting it up at a drive-by kind of thing.
It's funny thing. I mean, sports are just such an amazing thing. I mean, you have to be there for the good moments. You have to be there for the bad moments. I got to say, though, I mean, this team, over the last season, I went to bed happy more times than I did sad.
Which is absolutely true. And we're going to go through some of the upsides of this last season. First, take me through your Game 7 experience. Where were you? How'd you react?
I watch with my upstairs neighbor, and we watch most games together because he has TiVo, and so I can watch on tape delay.
And you don't have cable, so that makes this a little bit easier.
So we have a very, you know, we've been doing this game in and game out, and it got very weird and very tense between us because I'm starting to react in ways that I hadn't before because this was, you know, everything was on the line here. He's starting to kind of get angry at me that I'm being too negative. And then I, you know, try to shut up. And then I start like walking around the living room. It was just awful.
My reaction was completely inappropriate, just next level inappropriate. So obviously Game 7 falls on Father's Day. I was on a Sunday. So it changed up a little bit. And even though the Warriors were on a 2-game losing streak, I still treated Sunday like the coronation. I thought for sure they were going to win. So have my family over, my mom, my dad, my little sister who just turned 10 years old. Also had a couple of friends over, my guy Keenan, and then a good friend of mine named Marcus, who's just starting to date a brand new girl who I don't really know. Like, I've met once, but I don't really know him, right?
You don't want anyone new in that
situation. No, but I thought we were just going to be celebrating. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it would be hell of easy and be a good way to know, and we'd get off to this great start. We'd always remember this Game 7. So anyways, we fast forward through the first three quarters. We get into the fourth quarter. It starts to look like the Warriors are definitely going to lose. I start saying some really, really inappropriate things. I mean, I just can't control myself. Probably the best illustration of how hard I took this. I don't know what was left, man. Let's say 2 minutes or something. Mark Jackson says yet another giant compliment to LeBron James. And without thinking about it at all, I say, it's really impressive to me that Mark Jackson can talk with LeBron James' dick in his mouth. 2 seconds pass, and my 10-year-old sister goes, yeah, I was wondering that too. I have never felt that inappropriate. Like, everybody hated me in the room, so I obviously took it remarkably hard. But starting to transition, man. Not to tell you that this wasn't awful. This was one of the worst experiences I've ever gone through. But I'm also starting to look at the possible downsides. Maybe I'm crazy, but life has taught me that sometimes you have to go through the hard times in order to get back to glory. Stupid analogy. Weightlifting. Doesn't matter how big your muscles are. If you want them to get bigger, you have to completely destroy them to build them back up. There is no question that games 5, 6, and 7 for the Warriors was a slideshow of their ineptitude, of all the holes in their armor. But I also think that this filthy experience, that this catastrophic loss is ultimately going to be the reason why the Warriors recognize these deficiencies and start fixing them up. So I want to jump into our Warriors focus. What we're going to do is go through all those things that drove us crazy, right? All the things that stuck out, all the terrible things the Warriors did to make sure that they had the most historic collapse in the history of the finals, but couple it with why I think it's ultimately going to help them in the long term.
Yeah, because if there is ever a team that I think is going to use this to their advantage, it's this Warriors squad. I mean, Steph said it even in his exit interview, where he said, you know, this is just one chapter in a book that's okay. not finished.
I was worried about running this by you because in order for the premise to work, we both kind of have to agree with it. You know what I mean? So I was worried about like shooting this up front. Am I being too much of a homer or is, I mean, we'll see as we go through the points, but the general concept, does it speak to you?
It does, because one thing that is so unique about this situation is you're going to try to criticize a team that just set the record for most wins in a season. Right. So the idea of kind of coming at them with a fine-tooth comb is a really hard thing for me to do.
The reason we're all so pissed off isn't because of the failure, man. It's because of the success. If the Warriors had not won 73 and they made it all the way to the seventh game of the NBA Finals, there wouldn't be all this self-loathing. We wouldn't be anywhere near as frustrated. It's that we were on the tip-top of the mountain and then fell on our asses right before we ascended it, right? So no further ado, let's jump in. Best place to start, Harrison Barnes' complete collapse. Just complete collapse. What the finals taught us is that Harrison Barnes cannot be trusted in clutch situations, even if it means he is taking wide open jump shots.
Has there ever been a player in a contract year play so poorly time and time again? I don't think it's happened before. He was terrible.
But take it out of the basketball context. Put it in another professional context. Imagine you have to give a speech in front of, 500 people. And how you give this speech not only dictates whether you're going to make $20 million that year, but would also, if you dominate it, is going to establish that you're going to make $20 million the next 4 years, right? Now, Harrison went 0 for 8 in game 6. If I had to give a speech, the functional equivalent of 0 for 8, I step up. I don't remember what the hell I'm talking about. I didn't remember the PowerPoint presentation. I didn't remember the projector for the PowerPoint. I didn't remember to put on my pants. You know, I literally go up there and just crap the bed in every single possible way, which is exactly what Harrison did.
I should not be able to go into an NBA Finals game myself and do what Harrison did. I could go 0 for 8. I could do that.
Yeah, exactly. They gave him the Tony Allen treatment, man. They treated him like Tony Allen, and Tony Allen never asked anybody for $20 million in a year.
And what's so disappointing is I wanted one of those stories where you hear, you know what, Harrison came back out afterwards. He just shot jumpers all night. He was working on his game to try to figure out what the deal is, or he talked to this shooting expert. I didn't hear a single story that Harrison Barnes cared at all.
I wanted a story where Harrison Barnes got publicly humiliated. I want people laughing at him in the streets of Oakland. Now, before we get too far, that we've made the point that Harrison was awful, how does the loss help, right? That's our whole idea. How does the loss help this? I think Harrison is cut and dry. Before, in fact, during our last podcast, man, when things were still so pseudo rosy, we were saying that the Warriors had come out and said, whatever the hell Harrison is offered, they're going to match. And at the time, it seemed like a good idea, you know? And if the Warriors had won this game, there's a real good chance they keep consistency. They do exactly as they said. Harrison Barnes is still on the team. Well, not anymore. We've learned that now. Now what we're hearing is the team wants to be, quote unquote, very aggressive. This is from our old friend, Mark with a C. Stein on Twitter. Quote, Warriors owner Joe Lacob on what's next for his team said firmly on his way out of Oracle, quote, all I can say is I will be very aggressive. And names are already starting to fly, Scotty. We're hearing things like Kevin Durant, obviously. Dirk Nowitzki is a new one from Kawakami. Al Horford, Joakim Noah, Chandler Parsons, Nicholas Batum, Bismack Biyombo, Evan Turner. All of these guys who may be joining the team. I will tell you this right now. If this loss means that Harrison Barnes leaves and we bring in somebody like Kevin Durant, then this loss was good for us.
And you're talking not just about bringing in talent, but you're talking about bringing in somebody who's hungry,
yep,
who really cares and wants to win a championship. And that is what I saw Harrison lacking.
Well, and it also changes the narrative, man. They win back-to-back titles. Kevin Durant is not looking at this team as a real opportunity. How could he? Not only would he be bandwagoning, if they lost a title, everyone looks to him like it's his fault. Not to say that he's definitely coming, but this is a much more attractive experience now. Now they've lost one. Now they have holes in their roster. Now there's reasons why they need him and him specifically. So I can see a world where this loss helps build this roster into a dynasty, into a better place than it would have been.
And I think that is a crucial point, is the Warriors are not out there just chasing a championship, just one ring.
Right.
They are building a dynasty, and that's a big difference, because you look at teams, I think the 2004 Lakers, you know, they brought in Payton, they brought in Malone.
Or the corpse of Peyton and Malone.
Yeah, exactly. But the idea being, sure, look, we're going to chase a championship for this 1 year. We know this team's not going to be around to do anything in the future, but we're going to try to get the chip right now. This Warriors squad and this team, the organization, are building a dynasty.
Well, and look at the way, I mean, just to continue this rubric, right? We heard Joey Lightyears during the season say that this team was light years ahead of everybody else, and they would be like that for the foreseeable future. What we've now learned is, no. Not true. You still need to keep building. And he's learned that lesson. He very clearly says, we will be very aggressive. So we got it. Another thing, just drove me crazy, Scott. Steve Kerr got out-coached. He just did. He got out-coached. You can look at it in a different way. Not for me. Here's a perfect way to look at it. We made fun of Tyronn Lue's decision to come at us with a three-pointer. We did, and we were right to do it. He adjusted. They stopped playing Channing Frye. They stopped putting Kevin Love in the corner. They changed their offense to beat us, and it worked. You know what Steve Kerr did not do? Make adjustments. He did not, man.
I never thought that we'd be saying this. It's hard for me to say. I mean, the coach of the year, a guy who's proven that he can make adjustments, fell back on his laurels.
Okay, and I think the reason being, and it fits right in what we're saying, the ability to adjust comes from failure. It comes from a lack of success. If all you've ever had is success, which, by the way, is exactly what Steve Kerr's had. He has never lost a series until right now. He won the championship in his first year as coach. He led them to 73 wins in his follow-up season. He was coach of the year this year. He had every reason to believe, I don't have to change. Why would he? He was always successful, and we saw that on the floor with their defense.
Now, I will say, though, to be fair, he did do some things which people are calling him out on as being a stupid idea, but if it had worked out, it would have been praised
rotations
as an adjustment.
You're talking about, like Festus, like putting and MDV.
Right, yeah. Like putting Festus in. I mean, let's say he blocks the LeBron three instead of fouling him. He eventually, or Festus makes a layup or a hook shot.
He was forced into those adjustments because Bogut got hurt. He had no other choice but to bring in a different roster thing. What I'm talking about is he used the exact same defense the entire series that won them the championship last year. Not this year, last year. They refused to double LeBron through most of the games.
But I think that by game, you may have seen in game six, but definitely by game seven, on the pick and rolls, they were definitely being way more aggressive. It was almost like a pseudo trap for a second, and then they would
backing
fall
off.
Back. And that's different, because before, their whole thing was just like, we'll just switch, easy switches.
I did see some of that. I don't think it's the hardcore adjustment I would have liked to seen. And even if we did see it in the end of game seven, we sure as hell didn't see it in five and six. But how does a loss help? He's learned now you don't, and I think it was a phrase you used when we were talking about how San Antonio lost, you don't pigheadedly stick with what used to work. You don't. You can lose despite success. He has 100% learned that. I don't want to go through this learning process. Nobody does. It sucks, but there's an upside to it, Scott. And, you know, right now, that's what he learned. Don't stick on your laurels. Don't assume what used to work is going to. And if anyone's going to pick that up, it's going to be Steve Kerr. There's an upside here.
Yeah, and I hope he stops smiling after every bad thing that happens. I hope he learned that.
That really bothers you. I kind of like that. It makes me feel a little bit better when he's bringing some optimism to the stage.
No, he needed to get more technicals and stop that smile.
You and your smiles, man. Smiling's okay. I just wanted to see him make some adjustments. Another thing. I mean, I won't say unacceptable because he was such a huge shining star in seven, but anybody who won't admit this is wrong, Draymond's emotion basically cost us this series. You know, I mean, we know what it means, his emotion to this team, and we know how it fuels them, and we know how it helps them. We also know that LeBron James, I'm sorry, I don't want to do this to you, mind f***ed him. He did. You know, LeBron recognized what was going on. Draymond came out on the bottom of that mental jousting, and then we lost him for the most important game and the pivotal game of the season. And through the regular season, what we learned is that even when Draymond did something inappropriate, it helped the team is what we thought, right? Think that OKC halftime tirade where he went out of control. He challenged Steve Kerr to a fight, but they won the game. So there was no limit. Nobody told them, you don't have to do this. Even when he had all those technicals during the playoffs, Steve Kerr did it with a smile, right? He said, I have no doubt in my mind he's not going to get to 7. I also have no doubt in my mind he's going to get to 5 and 6. It was all handled with kid gloves. Not anymore. Not anymore. There's no way that he has not learned that this emotion has to be funneled, has to be put in the right place.
And got to be used at the right time because, right, like, body slamming Michael Beasley at the end of a worthless
right
first round game against Houston is not necessary. It gets you nothing.
That's exactly right. But, right, if Steve Kerr tells him that after he body slams Michael Beasley, that you might hear it, might not, disappears. He has to sit out game 5 of the finals. That's not a message you ignore. That's something that you internalize forever.
And not only was it game 5, but it really neutered him for game 6.
Yep.
I mean, he was a shell of himself.
He was scattershot. He didn't know what the hell to do with all the feelings. But by game 7, even though they lost, he was one. You know, he was the diamond in the ashtray of the Warriors' performance. He was unbelievable. You know, and so he has learned to funnel some of this stuff, which is why I think we can see a silver lining in this filthy, filthy dark cloud. Man, another one. We have said all year that the Warriors need to stop pretending that they are the Harlem Globetrotters. We have said it over and over and over again, and most of it has been aimed directly at my favorite player in the league, Steph Curry. As phenomenal as he is, he makes fancy plays when we don't need them. We've been talking about those one-handed passes, those unnecessary behind-the-back passes that came at the wrong moments that led to turnovers we didn't need. You can't tell somebody that when they're winning 73. Why would they listen to you? Of course they wouldn't. You know when you can? When under 2 minutes you throw a behind-the-back pass and it goes out of bounds and costs you the championship.
A behind-the-back left-handed pass to a guy who, even if he caught the pass, wasn't really even going to be in a position to do anything.
It's one thing if Kerr says it. It's another thing if the fan base screams it. It's a completely more effective thing if you lose the championship because you did it.
Yeah, this has got to affect his... And I hope, again, that it doesn't, like, rein in his ability to be creative and do all the things that made Steph great, because that is part of his game.
Sure.
But there's, again, like Draymond's emotions, there's a bit of a time and a place for it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And that's, I mean, what you have to learn is where the line is crossed, when it's okay to do that, when it's not. You learn that by failure. Right? Yeah, I mean, you do. You learn it by recognizing, well, this is when I can't do it, because otherwise you're going to continue to try it. There was epic failure over on Sunday. Epic. The type of thing that I'm not going to get over probably for the rest of my life. I couldn't sleep Sunday night.
No, this week has been filled with sleepless nights, and it's affecting my days. It's all, just thinking about what the hell just happened.
It's like a hangover that I can't shake. It's like I feel like I left money on a table somewhere. That it's something that I cannot remove. But I'm not just being a homer. There are absolute reasons to think why this pain is going to ultimately help propel the Warriors to a place we haven't even seen them reach yet, which is what I'm looking forward to.
I mean, just remember, Bram, they failed. You didn't. Okay?
Yeah, shut up, Scott. I don't need your stupid psychological help messages. You know what else we learned, man? Strength in numbers is real. I do believe in the depth in this team. But you know where they don't have depth? Big men. Bogut goes down. You and I talked right after Bogut went down. I told you I had a kind of an ominous feeling about this series. And it proved to be right, because in the depth category, we're not real deep in that level. We started seeing Andy Varejao. We saw your boy Festus coming in looking a little bit afraid. Looks like the Warriors have learned something. Looks like they're thinking about Joakim Noah. Looks like they're thinking about Bismack Biyombo. They are addressing the holes that popped up.
Yeah, this whole thing was just like a perfect storm of disaster. I mean, Bogut going down, Draymond suspended, Iguodala has some back issue all of a sudden in game 6. It's like it was just nonstop.
Let me also just go ahead and say the scene of the trainer, or what, they don't even call her trainer, right? It's like, I don't know what the hell it's called. Some fancy new age term, but we'll just call her the woman with the pop collar. The scene of the woman with the pop collar rubbing Andre Iguodala's back pretty much made my point about her
Oh yeah, totally.
She looks so disgusted and upset that she had to do that. If you don't feel like rubbing players' backs, why the hell are you a head trainer in the NBA? I'm ready. I'm ready for her to go. I guess we cannot blame her, but maybe this will be one of the transitions we see going into the offseason.
I hope so. And did you hear the announcer said that she spent two nights at Andre Iguodala's house, like doing therapy and rehab for him the whole entire time? I cannot imagine a worse house guest to have.
Can
for
you
two
imagine
nights.
Like if Andre has like an intercom or something in his house, right? And he buzzes down. He's like, "All right, woman with the pop collar, I need your help." She goes, "Yeah, no problem." Clicks off and he goes, like, "I hate this," and then walks up hell of slowly to handle it. You know?
Oh yeah, no.
What else? Were there other things? What other major holes did the Warriors exhibit to you over games 5, 6, and 7?
A major hole for me, and I don't know how we can find the silver lining here, but the Steph and Clay's game is somewhat susceptible to a bad reffing regime. And I saw someone, I don't know if it was on the Warriors World Forum or on Twitter, where they said this is kind of like the new Jordan rules. So, you know, the Pistons would just foul the crap out of Jordan to keep him from getting in the lane or whatever.
Hanging him.
Yeah,
right.
Just nonstop contact. The way the league reacted to that was they banned the hand check. They said, "You can't do this." Now we're seeing what is a beautiful brand of basketball. I mean, the Warriors coming off screens, getting slicing, dicing back cuts. We're seeing that completely stifled by the way teams are grabbing and holding Steph and Clay. And to me, I thought things were going to change a lot after Game 6 when Curry gets ejected and Steve Kerr has the press conference afterwards where he brings up that they're holding him, and nothing changed in Game 7. So this means the NBA has told the referees, look, this is the interpretation of how we want the game to be reffed.
And we're not going to allow off-the-ball fouls to dictate how the finals outcome ultimately comes out. I put that into the Steve Kerr needs to make an adjustment realm. I mean, what we did is we stuck with an offense that had given us historic success in the past. But we also knew that if we were not allowed to run freely without being molested off the ball, that because of the way that it relies upon rhythm, it was no longer going to work. We learned that through 4 games, 5 games, 6 games. If you've learned that all the way through, that they're not going to make those calls anymore, then you got to make an adjustment. You have to make an adjustment.
So what does that adjustment look like? Is it somebody who can score in the low post? Is it a guy like bringing back a David Lee type who can kind of just crash to the basket?
Well, I should say that I'm the type of personality who can only point out problems. I never have solutions. I'm really good at being that dick who's like, "Oh yeah, no, here's the problem," and they don't have a solution. But yes, it would be having a scorer and a system where we can somehow get shots closer than 26 feet, right? Where we don't settle for three-pointers in the first 8 seconds of a shot clock if we're not hot. Where we don't need a streaker to the rim. Where we can just isolate a big man down low and get a shot within 5 feet on a single coverage, you know? And maybe we'll see that within the roster additions. All right. I haven't gotten over it. I won't get over it. There's a lot of anger that's still in here for me. And I would like to use this as a little bit of a cathartic base. I'm probably up to my F-bomb limits, but allow me a few FUs before we get the hell out of here. And let me start this way. F*** you, officials. There is a time-honored tradition, Scott, of the MVP not only not getting called in a really tight manner, but getting the benefit of every call. I have watched my entire life as an NBA fan the Warriors getting abused by an MVP. Think Kobe, right? And he'd get all these ridiculous calls, but the answer was always, he's the MVP. You know, and it was what it was. We have the MVP now.
The two-time MVP, unanimous.
The first unanimous MVP now, and the officials not only don't give him the benefit of the calls, they're fouling him out in a finals game on ridiculous calls. That is unacceptable, man.
Fouling him out on calls off the ball fouls.
Yes,
so
yes.
They're not calling fouls when he's getting fouled off the ball. And yet at least 2, maybe even 3 of the game 6 fouls were off the ball fouls.
Hell yes, of course. Same vein. F*** you guys Steph hit with his mouthpiece. I did a little bit of research, by the way. That guy is a part minority owner for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Watch how he was acting right before he got beamed in his face with Steph's spit holder. He was going out of control. He's doing the wave goodbye, seemingly singing something. If you have the type of money that is necessary to own a team and you're not just a fan like the rest of us, show a little bit of class. I am happy that he got hit with that mouthpiece. I wish I had a video of it right now. I would watch it like 50 times.
So are you upset at Steph going over and apologizing? And
yes.
Giving a five?
Yes, I was. Why? I did not take that well. But, well, one, because, well, let's see. Hold on. Was that the right move? Hell yes. More than anything, he's hedging against a suspension. We know we need him in game seven. And so he drew the line of, look, I'm upset, but I didn't mean to come after you. And I respect what he did. As an insane fan who just told you he wants to watch that guy getting hit with the mouthpiece in replay over and over again, was I happy that Steph went over and said, I'm sorry, and left laughing? Hell yes, I was. I wish Steph had gone over there and punched him in the balls like Draymond Green.
I mean, in combination with talking about the mouth guard and F you to the referees, let me just say, and I know it was Jason Phillips who ejected Steph, but Scott Foster was reffing that game. Now, that makes it true for the fact that the only time Sean Livingston has been ejected, and the only time Steph Curry has been ejected,
oh boy, Scotty,
the common source has been Scott Foster reffing.
Just say it. You probably don't want to bleep it, so we'll just say F you, Scott Foster. I'll add another one. F you to everyone who went crazy when Kyrie and LeBron scored 80 collective points in a finals game. Impressive? Hell yes. But they also did it with the Warriors' best defensive player on the bench because LeSnitch made sure he wasn't there. I don't know a whole lot about soccer, Scotty, but I can tell you that if I put up 8 goals in a game with no goalie, it wouldn't be quite as impressive if I was playing in a game that actually had a defense. So I wasn't ready to coronate them immediately when they did that. Also, fuck you, Joe Lacob, for making the playoffs tickets so damn expensive that we lost the blue-collar fan. But more than anything, man, more than all the people I've named so far, fuck you, Cleveland fan. LeBron James deserved this. He did. He's the best player in the series. And by far, it looked like a man who figured out the Matrix. He destroyed us. You know who didn't? Cleveland fan. They are the most disgusting bunch of people. And I mean, let's see, right before game 6, they had all these pictures of shirts they were selling outside the arena. What the shirts were pictures of the Splash Brothers. And underneath, it said Brokeback Mountain 2. Now, one, that was like 2 days away from the Orlando shooting. So disgusting on its face just from timing. But generally speaking, what's the insinuation? Gay is bad? Show some kind of class, even a modicum of class. I call LeBron a snitch. It is obviously a way over the top designation. But at the same time, it's not hate-filled and remarkably offensive. You know what I mean? These guys have no class.
And how about LeBron coming out with the Ultimate Warrior shirt when he comes back off the plane?
Yes.
Again, have some class.
Yes.
That was the most classless act I've ever seen. It was a game 7. It was a competitive series. You don't have to come across like just a complete asshole.
Yes. When the Warriors won, right? When they won last year, what did we hear from Cleveland? Lucky. Lucky, 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 lucky. We didn't have our whole team. Lucky, 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 lucky. When the Cavs won, you know what we didn't hear? Lucky. Didn't hear anything about Bogut talking about he wasn't out there. Didn't hear anything about Steph saying that he was limited. None of that, man. They just congratulated them and then tried to move on.
Yeah, and I don't know how true a report this is, but I saw somebody from an ESPN reporter saying that he saw Steph's knee after Game 7, and it was the size of a grapefruit.
I mean, I'll use the excuse. I do think Cleveland got lucky. One of the images that is seared in my mind, one of the reasons that is so hard for me to get over this is despite everything that happened in the last minute, right? So it was Kyrie's shot basically that ended it, right? They hit that three and
because the teams went a combined 1 of 19 at the end, I think.
Steph had, from what I could tell, 3 wide open threes in those last 2 minutes, and if he hits any of them, this is over. It's over. And we wouldn't be talking about any of this and be a totally different thing. We'd be stuck with Harrison Barnes forever, right? But it kills me that that happened. But I am positive that Steph had something going on that prevented him from bringing it at all. But we'll never know. And that's good. That's a credit to him that we'll never know.
Right. And oh my gosh, though, he had that one where he had Kevin Love on him and he just can't shake him. It's just, you don't need a three. Just go to the basket. Get a two-pointer at that point. He was so far up on you. Just drive by him.
I hated watching Kevin Love celebrate there in the end. I wanted somebody to come up and whisper to him, you need to know that both fan bases hate you.
Did you
Cleveland
watch the celebration?
Hates you.
You watched the celebration. I turned it, as soon as the buzzer went off, I turned it off.
But that's actually a very good call. What I've seen is the picture of Kevin Love hugging LeBron while he sobs like a maniac, and it looks like Kevin Love's having the time of his life. I assume that's what happened. I turned off. I've got a sound system in our house, so the TV connects to the sound system, as does the cable. I turned off the sound system so that now the TV is still on, and it just says HDMI, no input. And we sat there for 5 or 6 minutes because people were so freaked out by my reaction that they didn't know what to do, so we all just sat there as I put my hand in my head and just took it so nasty. So no, I'm sorry. I did not watch the celebration live. You're absolutely right. Last topic, man, and it's one hopefully that will kind of center us and remind us what the hell we're going through here. And it's a would you rather. By the way, we did do a vote on the would you rather versus this or that. I mean, landslide murdering. There was like two people who I think was like my mom and my wife who voted for this or that. Everybody else voted would you rather. So if you got a victory lap, now's the time to run it.
Yeah, I appreciate all those who voted because you knew it was the right call.
They did not.
And it made Bram lose, which I always, always love. I don't even, you could start calling it this or that right now. I don't care. I just was happy you lost.
How about I call it F you, Scotty, and we just move on. Would you rather, if you could pick a team to root for the next 5 years, would you rather be a Warriors fan or a fan of any other team?
I choose Warriors. I don't think it's a hard choice. And Vegas odds say that the Warriors are favored next year to win the championship.
Exactly right. Remember, Dub Nation, where the hell we are. Does this suck? Yes. 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 Is there anything we can say to make it not suck? No. Does it mean you're not rooting for an elite team? Hell no. Steph Curry, prime, exceptionally motivated, 28 years old. Klay Thompson, 26 years old, superstar. Draymond Green, 26 year old, superstar. New arena, coming up in an environment that people want to play in, that is known for its weather, and we are now a destination franchise. You know, this is a phenomenal place to be. This wasn't a one-off. We weren't the eighth seed who snuck into the finals, and now we're never going to have this opportunity again. That's not what's happening, right? Make sure you get that. Also, don't forget where we came from. 5 years ago, 36 wins, no playoffs. Epe Udo and Darrell Wright are starting for us. So if you want to wallow in your sorrow, fine, I get it. Give me a call. We'll grab a drink and be upset together. But if you go beyond that and start saying that you now don't trust this team, you're being stupid.
No, I completely agree. This core is so solid and so strong. This front office has shown that time and time again, they can make the right decision. So if they decide to keep Harrison Barnes, I believe that there was a reason for it. And I'm going to trust these guys because what they have done and the turnaround that has happened in the amount of short time that it's happened in, you can do nothing but trust these guys.
That's exactly. They've earned it. They've earned the trust. So right. I think the message of this podcast, in addition to having too many F-bombs, is take the long view, broaden your scope. If you sit and look only at this final series, then of course you're going to be upset. You should be. If you broaden a little bit, look at next year, you'll feel a little bit better. They're already the Warriors, or they've already been designated as a champion. Broaden it beyond that. Look at it for 3 years. Look at it for five. Look at it for 10. This team is set up with a phenomenal front office, a phenomenal core, and will probably improve on a team that won 73 wins last year. There are upsides. Don't just focus on the down.
Let's go for 74 next year, and I can't wait for October to come.
Yeah, let's go for like 60. Save everybody, and then get our chance at redemption. Huge fun, you guys. Certainly true. Well, a lot of fun. I won't say huge fun because this one hurt me so much, but a lot of fun this week. True every week, certainly true this week. Please remember, you want to reach out to us. You think we're being over the top homers. You think we are not upset enough. You like the approach that we're taking. Anything, hit us at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Our Twitter account is @warriorshuddle. Our website is warriorsworld.net. We're on a ton of podcasting services, including iTunes, Google Play. You guys have been great about giving us reviews. If you've listened to this show for longer than like 5 or 6 episodes, you like what we're doing, we'll never ask you for anything except these reviews. Please go out there and get us one. Also, a couple of show notes. One, we are going to continue to record through the offseason. It won't be with the same regularity. We're not going to be able to do it every week, but we will be checking in. For example, we will not have an episode next week, but we are planning to come back in a couple of weeks. We'll always give you a heads up when it's coming. You can follow us on Twitter if you want to get a better sense of it. And two, now that things have calmed down a little bit, I think there's a good chance we go back to full squad and we invite Rusty back into the fray. And what we're going to do is start really focusing on the free agency period and who the Warriors can expect to bring in. Until then, go Warriors, and hopefully we'll see you real soon.
Good, good.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.